A young Australian woman named Belle Gibson built an empire on a lie. She claimed to have cured her terminal brain cancer through natural methods, turning her story into a best-selling cookbook and a wellness app that hit 200,000 downloads. She earned nearly $500,000 in 18 months. Apple featured her prominently on the Apple Watch launch. There was just one problem. Belle never had cancer, not even a mild case. Her entire story was fabricated. What's truly unsettling isn't that Belle lied, it's that so many believed her without question. Sophisticated technology companies, major publishers, and countless media outlets never bothered to verify her medical records. Why? Because her story told us what we desperately wanted to hear, that willpower and lifestyle changes could conquer our most terrifying diseases. This is confirmation bias at work, our tendency to embrace claims that align with what we want to believe while dismissing evidence that challenges our worldview. When Robert Coleman Atkins published his revolutionary diet book in 1972, it became the best-selling weight loss guide in history, despite containing zero scientific references. What made it so irresistible wasn't scientific rigor, but simplicity. Avoid all carbohydrates. This single rule eliminated the exhausting complexity of nutrition. No need to distinguish between simple and complex carbs, no percentage calculations, no moderation. Carbs became entirely evil. Protein and fat became entirely virtuous. This is black and white thinking, and it's hardwired into our brains. Our hunter-gatherer ancestors needed quick, decisive rules to survive. Berries are good, or run from carnivores. Simple heuristics enabled rapid decisions in life or death situations. Today, though we face fewer immediate threats, binary thinking persists because it helps us process information efficiently. The problem? Reality is rarely binary. Studies show the Atkins diet's near-zero-carb approach can reduce life expectancy by 4 years. The belief that more water is always better led marathon runner David Rogers to fatal water intoxication. Most relationships in life are moderate, granular, or marbled, beneficial up to a point, containing diverse elements with different properties, or simultaneously positive and negative. For years, I taught Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000-hour rule, that anyone could master any skill with sufficient practice. It aligned with encouraging messages about hard work trumping talent, validated by reputable sources, including Gladwell's bestseller, Outliers. Then I scrutinized the original sources. Gladwell had only claimed practice was necessary, not sufficient. Talent still mattered. The actual Erickson study showed the best violinists accumulated just 7,410 hours by age 18, with no mention of 10,000. The study relied on questionable recollections from age 5. Erickson later clarified that international winners typically practiced 20,000-25,000 hours. I had spread misinformation because I wanted the rule to be true, failing to recognize that statements aren't necessarily facts. This happens constantly. The UK Select Committee on Business cited my research as evidence that CEO impact was, at best, ambiguous, the exact opposite of my findings. Sometimes there's no data at all. Organizations claim CEO remuneration packages actively discourage innovation without a single supporting test. Even worse are non-existent studies, like when Reuters published Boardrooms with More Women Deliver More on Climate, citing a study that couldn't be found anywhere. Walter Isaacson's biography of Steve Jobs emphasizes Jobs' adoption, design sensibility, and focus on the how of product creation as keys to Apple's success. Meanwhile, Simon Sinek's popular golden circle theory claims Apple succeeded because it started with why rather than what or how. Despite their fundamental contradictions, both explanations gained widespread acceptance because they present compelling narratives that reverse engineer Apple's success into seemingly logical, predestined outcomes. Selected examples don't constitute data. While YouTube personalities boast of massive stock market profits, rigorous studies of 78,000 brokerage accounts revealed that frequent traders earned only 11.4% annually compared to 17.9% for buy-and-hold investors. Individual success stories aren't representative of typical outcomes. The scientific method requires forming a hypothesis, gathering representative samples, establishing control groups, calculating average outcomes, and testing for statistical significance. This contrasts sharply with how authors draw broad conclusions from single cases. Business books typically present a single big idea illustrated with cherry-picked examples that fit their narrative, while ignoring contradictory cases. Jim Collins and Jerry Porras identified visionary companies in Built to Last, but comparing them only to less successful competitors doesn't constitute a proper control group. A true control would examine hundreds of companies without their prescribed principles. This methodological flaw explains why many visionary companies subsequently failed. The supposed success formula was never scientifically validated. As an investment banking analyst, I witnessed data manipulation firsthand. When my analysis showed Morgan Stanley ranked third, my boss pushed me to adjust criteria, time periods, deal sizes, geographic scope, until we achieved first place. We excluded deals below $500 million, focused on European transactions, limited timeframes, continuing until we found the perfect combination to showcase our bank at the top. This is data mining, conducting biased searches by running numerous tests and only reporting desired results. Even with no true link between variables, running enough tests will eventually produce statistically significant results by chance. Thomson Reuters selectively used data from 2007 onward to show companies with women on boards outperformed others, while the full dataset from 2002 showed no significant relationship. Their ironically titled study, Mining the Metrics of Board Diversity, demonstrated blatant sample manipulation. When my son Casper was born underweight, we faced a decision about supplementing breastfeeding with formula. Conventional wisdom suggested breastfeeding was superior for IQ outcomes, but examining research carefully revealed many studies failed to account for common causes, factors like mother's IQ, education, and socioeconomic status that influence both breastfeeding choice and child outcomes. After reading studies controlling for these factors, the supposed 4.69 IQ point advantage dropped to an insignificant 0.52 points. Correlation isn't causation because common causes may be driving both variables. Frederick Winslow Taylor's scientific management revolution dramatically improved manufacturing productivity, quadrupling pig iron handler Schmidt's output while increasing his wages by 61%. When these principles were applied to education, culminating in the 2001 No Child Left Behind Act, the results were devastating. Schools narrowed curricula, teachers followed scripted lessons, and experienced educators quit in droves. Scientific management failed in education because evidence is not proof. It lacks universality. While mathematical proofs apply everywhere forever, evidence may only be valid in specific contexts. Angela Duckworth's West Point research found that grit predicted training completion better than standardized scores. However, these studies suffered from restriction of range, examining only exceptional people. Grit may only matter when combined with high ability. In a world where falsehood spreads 6 times faster than truth on social media, we need active wisdom seeking. Becoming more knowledgeable means actively gathering diverse perspectives. Organizations need cognitive diversity, variety in backgrounds, experiences, and problem-solving approaches. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, President Kennedy's diverse 14-member committee chose diplomatic solutions over military strikes, averting nuclear war. Diversity alone isn't enough. Inclusion matters. Your greatest defense isn't cynicism, it's curiosity paired with critical thinking. Question comfortable stories, seek challenging voices, demand evidence, not just examples. Thinking clearly isn't just intellectual exercise, it's how we build a society worth living in.